When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is Courtney.
We're Honey Boy in Boots. And this is Porch Talk. And this is our song called Heartbeats.
I'm ready. Welcome you to Porch Fest. And Porch Fest. I'm still on that. Things still are not right since then. Welcome to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And returning guests today, Honey Boy in Boots, Drew and Courtney Blackwell. How y'all doing?
Good. How's it
going?
Well.
Great, man. Great to have y'all back on. Last time we were together, y'all opened up the home before y'all had a gig at Georgia Blue, and it felt a little rushed. And so now we get to kind of take our time and we'll pick y'all's brains a little bit more.
Sure.
Yeah,
sounds good. Sounds great.
So, man, y'all have been incredibly busy with festival season, 30A. Porch Fest, Dell Fest, and others, I'm sure. I'm leaving some out.
We played over at this festival in Centerville, Alabama a few weeks ago called, I'm forgetting the name of it now, Six Mile Festival.
That's right.
It was very cool. It was way out in the country. This guy on his property, he's kind of converted his barn into like a stage and has a bunch of church pews in there for people to sit on. And it was fun. I had a good time.
That's perfect.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
There was it was out in Leeds, Alabama, and I don't remember the name of this one. It had something to do with the moon, but it was their inaugural. And that's one thing that I've been just paying attention to just with all the musician friends that I have on social media, like they're getting to play these new festivals. And I don't know what's gotten into people, but I'm happy about it. Like I like, cause I'm seeing more house shows pop up. I'm seeing people like everything seems like to be turned into like a DIY.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it.
And every now and then you get the opportunity to camp or you're playing on the coast or you might be at a cool, in Appalachia in the mountain range. You don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Camping at a music festival is where it's at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's been some of the favorite memories, Courtney? You got one you go back to?
It was an annual thing Drew and I would do every Memorial Day weekend. It was the festival called Acoustic Cafe, and that was in Haleyville, Alabama, and we got to meet Pokey LaFarge, we got to see Marcia Ball, we got to meet Todd Schneider.
Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Carolina Chocolate Drops, yeah, and they had their cello player there. That was really cool. So that was always fun. We have some Birmingham friends that we all kind of camp together and make a ground.
Yeah.
Their sisters came one year and it was...
Their campground there was... The festival doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately, but their campground... They had these street, quote unquote streets, just like dirt paths. Mm-hmm. But they had these street signs, and each name of each street was a Grateful Dead song. So they had Shakedown Street, and they had every year people would kind of camp on the same paths.
I want to say I've seen a T-shirt about this,
probably
because they made it out, and it was kind of like a rainbow road or something.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really a very cool setup.
Their main design is like skeletons and a peace sign made of flowers or something kind of like that. Well, that was one T-shirt year or something.
I think I've seen some of the memorabilia from years gone by. Yeah.
The coolest thing they did was they had a fairly local coffee brewery that was a sponsor, and it was free coffee 24/7. Like you go up to the main little spot and get a big cup of coffee anytime you wanted.
Yeah,
so,
that was fun.
That was pretty cool.
That would be quite the move right there. Yeah. Especially like camping like that. That'd come in handy early morning or late night.
Man, it was great. Always. Anytime you should get to feeling dragging, you're like, I'm going to go up there and get me a cup of coffee. It was good. It was like good coffee.
You would get coffee and I'd go take a nap on the hammock.
Do y'all know of Dale Smith? He's down in Laurel, Mississippi.
Yeah, we know him.
Yeah, you know, he just got his coffee roasting business off the ground.
He told us about that.
We played Under the Moon Festival
Yeah, Meridian it was called. Full Moon on 5th. It's like a little block party thing they do. And we showed up there, and he was running sound. So we got to kind of catch up. And we've met him before a few times.
I played cello for his church on a random Sunday after we played Slow Boat. Oh, wait, that brewery?
Yeah. And he was telling us about his new spots. We hadn't been down to Laurel again to see it.
That town's getting a little lively. I had, which I'm friends with Greg Padilla, and he plays keyboard in Red and the Revelers. Mm-hmm. And then he has something Grime. I don't remember the name of the band that he fronts.
Okay.
Something Grime. Sorry, Dale, if you're listening. And Tyler Tisdale had told me, he was like, I don't know if you're aware of Dale Smith, but he's a very accomplished musician, and he just opened up his coffee roasting company out of his aunt's old coffee shop, and I think he's definitely worth an interview. And I was blown away. Walked in there, free cup of coffee, and like he showed me the machine. It's there right when you walk in, and it's like something that you would see at NASA or something. It looks like some kind of a locomotive, or it belongs on a rocket. It's wild. And like he roasted a bag right there in front of me, and he was like, this is what I do now. It's great coffee. I'll probably put that website in the description if y'all listen and want to check that out. Help Dale out. He's the man. But, Drew, I wanted to ask you about this. I saw that you had been going on a, I don't know if someone challenged you or you challenged yourself, but you was trying to write a song a day.
Song a day? I was for a while. I've slacked off because I'm can be very lazy. But I was doing pretty good with it. I have been trying to make a conscious effort to write a lot more. And try to collaborate more with people. And so I've gone back. I've kind of reached out to some because that's the great thing about with social media and internet. You don't have to live in Nashville,
right,
to co-write people all the time. You can do it, whatever, via text, email. So I recently reached out to a good buddy of mine in Nashville I hadn't seen in years, and we kind of started working on a song. It's about halfway finished. And then I wrote a song with a girl. We played this festival. We ended up going up there 3 years in a row and playing, but it was in Red Lodge, Montana, called Red Lodge Songwriting Festival. We met a lot of great people. We met this girl named Haley Allen, who's a great songwriter herself. And this was like three years ago. She had sent us an email with this little chorus and melody she came up with, and I remembered it, and I was like, yeah, I think I can do something with that. So I ended up finishing the song and did a little recorded it on my phone and sent it to her. So I don't know if she's gonna actually sing it or not, but we've played it the last few live shows, so I think it sounds pretty cool.
Just seeing you post that, man, because I remember when COVID had first broke out and nobody was playing shows. I mean, you didn't have a show. And so just on the Porch Talk social media, hey, if you would like to write a song, post it to the page. And I was like, this is an open challenge to anybody. I was like, what's that lockdown like? Because that was right when they announced the whole 2 weeks. And I was like, let's get in here and let's get a little dirty and let's see what comes out. That was fun. And that was one of those rare times in one of the more recent interviews that I did, and I thought this was great, and I think we should start doing it here in Starkville, is not only maybe give you a word or a phrase, but also I want you to write a waltz, but I want you to write it only using minor chords.
Okay.
Or, kind of outside the box. And I was like, okay, you got a word and a phrase, and you have a certain structure that you got to follow. That's a good challenge.
I love that, because I think that's one of the hardest things is kind of getting started.
Yeah.
If you got kind of a starting point like that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I had never thought of because I get stuck to where, like, with chord progressions, and it feels like if I took this capo off the second one and put it on the third, I would probably have the same song that I wrote last week. And that's a bad rut to get in.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you know it is. But there's nothing wrong with sounding like yourself, also, I think. But, it's, I don't know, I love doing it, I love it, and that's, this thing, man, is like, they're not all, I've learned a long time ago, I mean, they're not all going to be bangers, but, man, it doesn't matter, like, when you get up and write a song in the morning, even if it ends up being something like, this is a mediocre song, that the rest of the day, that day,
feel accomplished.
You feel like you're on top of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the best thing about songwriting, I think, you know.
Yeah. What about, like, times of day, man? Does that matter? You mentioned the morning. Like,
I love writing in the morning. I sometimes write at night, mostly in the morning. If I have time, I rarely have time, but, you know, if I can get up, make a cup of coffee, have some breakfast, and have just a few hours just to let my mind kind of wander, that's when I really like to write.
Yeah. I've experimented with it, like whether it be keeping a journal or just trying to write a lyric. Mm-hmm. Of the day will hit you different. It's mm-hmm. it's one thing to get up before the day has done whatever it's going to do to you mm-hmm. in the morning. That's a great time. But also, like, you got a lot of damage maybe from that day. Mm-hmm. So sometimes taking it in the evening, you might, well, might come out a little jaded.
Right. Yeah. I do a lot of, like, finishing in the evening. Like that song I wrote when I finished Haley's song. She pretty much had the chorus, and I kind of finished the tag on the chorus, and I wrote the first two verses one Saturday morning, and I thought it turned out pretty good. I sent what I had to her, and she's like, "Oh yeah, that sounds good." And we had to go play that festival, Six Mile Festival in Alabama, but I was like, "It needs one more verse, you know." So we went and played the festival, had a good time. We played like, I don't know, 6 to 7, and drove home. So, I mean, I was driving home, and I was, like, starting thinking about it. And I was like, oh, I think I got an idea for the last verse. So I pulled my phone out, and I said, Courtney, I'm sorry, I'm going to sing this weird few lines for a minute. And sang it at my phone, and then ended up being the last verse. And the next morning, I kind of smoothed it all out. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes in the evening when you're riding or driving, like, kind of, editing songs or just finishing them or writing that last verse, that's when that kind of, I don't know, for whatever reason, kicks in. So
absolutely. Just I've been over here in Starkville since November. Mm-hmm. And kind of upset with myself. I haven't really gotten involved in the scene as much as I would like to. Mm-hmm. Granted, I don't have a whole lot of time. If I'm not working, I'm working. But mm-hmm. I've been wanting to get, like, more involved in the scene and try to create things, whether it be in the backyard or just be more present at the open mic and see what the younger guys are doing. Mm-hmm. What have y'all been up to in the local scene?
Just play George Blue mostly, twice a month. Mm-hmm. I do miss the open mic. It used to be like my every Monday thing.
Yeah, I would always go there.
Like, we had a dinner date on Monday, and I was like, "So we're going to Dave's after." I mean, if you want to, so we're going to Dave's. Yeah. I always did that on Mondays, so that was yeah. thing.
Now they're doing Tuesday nights too. They added another night.
Oh, that's great.
So really?
Yeah, I guess it's been pretty successful lately because they're doing great. Monday and Tuesday nights over Mike at Dave's. Yeah,
they have the same host.
I don't know who's hosting. I know Drew Diekman's been hosting Monday nights, but I don't know if he's doing both nights. Or I hadn't heard.
That'd be wild if he was.
Yeah,
doing two open mics in a week.
That's a
good for you if you are.
I hosted that open mic for about 2 years. Man, every Monday it'll wear you out after a while. It's great, but you know You turn around and it's Monday again. It's time to go do it. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the one at Monson's, and it's every other Thursday.
Yeah.
And
every other week's good. Yeah, I like that.
It's a sweet spot, but yeah. Columbus is so much different than Starkville. And
yes, it is.
I'm seeing, like, it's kind of changing a little bit, I think, for what I would like to say is the better. Because Columbus seems to get real hot for it, and then they get real cold. Like, everybody, mm-hmm. they'll burn out.
Yeah,
and not just the people who like going and seeing live music, but the players too.
Yeah.
And so we were at a point where we're going to start doing it every week because, I mean, the sign-up sheet is filling up. We start at 7, it's filling up at 7:15. We got a great problem. Mm. And I was like, well, no, let's start it earlier, and we'll just go later, and we'll try to accommodate. Because that's one thing that we've been fighting. It's like, I don't want to lose this because Columbus has struggled with an open mic for years now.
Yeah.
I can't keep it going.
Yeah.
And shout out to Dave's, man. As long as I know, Monday night, they've been holding it down.
Been a long time.
But, I mean, I'm sure that. MSU helps. You always got brand new people coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've had lulls. I mean, I remember there were times when I was hosting that it would be, you know, a slow night for sure, but I'm glad that it seems that they are kind of back to having a really full schedule. Because I know when we first met, though, it was like, you better get there an hour and a half early or you don't get on the list. I mean, it was banging, and so it's, I guess it's kind of getting back to that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So
It was that way like four or five years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember I was over here with Rob Swindle. Happy birthday in heaven, buddy. But we had finished up hanging out at the comic book shop. He loved comics. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the open mic is tonight. Let's go play it. And we both walk in there with our guitars and sign up sheet at the door. And he's like, we got one slot. And I was like, well, Rob, you take it. I'll watch you play. And that was like past couple times of going back there. It was that same. If you didn't get there early, you could forget it. Or you better know somebody to write your name down.
Yeah. Were you ever, it might have been before your time, but there was a time when Lee Graham, local musician Lee Graham, bass player, whatnot, he ran up at Mike for a long time, man, several years. And for a while there, they were doing on Monday nights open mic and rat races.
Rat races.
Yes, and he would have to coordinate the rat races. So anytime I ever complained about hosting open mic, he's like, man, you didn't have to host open mic and coordinate a rat race. And yeah, they would do that. Like they'd have open mic, and then in the middle of open mic, they'd take a break, and they'd bring out this like track thing and put it on the stage, and they'd bring these mice out, which they kept the mice back in the kitchen area. So.
Whoops.
Well, maybe not the kitchen area, but they kept it in the back somewhere.
It was a special back storage.
And they would bring these mice. This was true. They'd bring these mice out, and people would bet. You would bet. Like, people would bet, whatever, $5-$10 on a certain mouse. And they'd put them in this little mount, this race, maze race thing. And whichever one got the end won, and you'd win some money.
Whatever.
Then they shut that down eventually. And then they went to crab races. Now, these little soft shell crab, not soft shell, little hermit crabs. And they did that for a while. And you do the same thing.
I've never heard of any of this. This is great.
This happened at Dave's. This was at Dave's.
But you never witnessed it.
No, I saw it. I was never hosting while it happened. But
I never saw it.
But Lee Graham had to help with this while hosting Open Mic Night. So.
I wonder, yeah. Like,
was that, a lot to do.
I know Lee Graham was running it. Would this have been like back with Dale, and was he still kicking?
It would have been around that time. I think Dale died in like 07, 08, something like that. So it'd been around that time. And then Lee hosted it from like till I took over for Lee in 2013. And, yeah, 2013. And he had been hosting it for, I don't know, several years at that point. And I did it for about two, maybe 3 years, and then Keithy took over. And then,
well, he's the original OG for me. He was hosting it when I first...
I don't remember him not hosting it. Maybe somebody hosted it before him.
I wonder
him,
who
I
did
remember.
Before him.
Maybe the, Dale. I'm not sure.
I think of all the times that I had played it when I came in, it was Keithy.
Yeah. He did it for a long time.
Yeah.
Also. Mm. So...
Shout out to that.
Yeah.
It's
Sorry, Dave. Bring back the rat races.
That's great.
Oh yeah, man. Rat races. It was a thing.
I wonder whose idea that was. You know what would be great? At the halfway mark of the open mic, we're gonna bring the hermit crabs out.
Yeah. Oh, you've heard of man, it's there's a little video of it still, or used to be, on YouTube. You know Ryan Bingham,
Singer
songwriter. He played at Dave's. This was years and years ago, you know. And I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Anyway, they had rat races that night. Like they had them on the billboard also. So they were in this little video clip. They were interviewing him, somebody somewhere, and they asked him, what's the diviest bar you've ever played? And he didn't name Dave's, but he said, well, one time I did this gig in Starkville, Mississippi, and I pull up, and on the marquee it says Rat Races, and underneath that it says Ryan Pinkham.
Rat Races are supreme. Oh, man. Well, now if you find that interview on the YouTube, you know where it went down.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. Oh, what a! I'm just excited. I want to get more involved. I know Georgia Graham. She has been putting on a songwriter workshop at the Art Council in town.
Yeah,
I wanted to be more involved with that. But I mean, is there anything else that y'all kind of been seeing that y'all are excited about just going on in the area?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'm excited that they're really pushing the arts and like painting and the galleries and having more events for people who are artists and painting and like
photography,
yeah,
even
photography, like all of it. And I think that that's just like right along with the creative minds that are all around the South, and like just really focusing on supporting them in a way, just to have their art shown in a gallery and encouraging that, I think has really been great. And I've seen a lot more of that in the other types of arts besides music, which is awesome.
That Starful, whatever the DIY, was it the
Start With DIY?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's man, they're doing a lot. We play I have a side project with Caleb and Mark from the Old Memphis Kings called Splode, which we don't play very often, but it's like a three-piece, it's like stoner metal, sludge metal. So we did a show with those guys. We were definitely the old men in the room, but it was a lot of fun. But it was at the Startful Arts Council place. Yeah. There, man, it was like packed out with people.
It was.
And we played, a band from Jackson played, and then the band here, oh, I'm gonna get their name wrong,
Cicadas.
Sludge Lung.
Yeah.
So that was
a
lot of fun.
I'm only laughing because the name of the band is Splode.
Splode.
I always call it. What do I call it?
Courtney always calls it slop. So I'll be like, I'm practicing with the guys tonight. She's like, is it Old Memphis Kings practice or is it slop practice? I guess slop practice.
I don't mean anything by it. It's what stuck in my head. And yeah,
it's got a ring to it. Yeah. If y'all ever think about a name change, we got you covered. It's already in my head.
Yeah, right.
Those cats been doing great, man.
Yeah, so, man. Yeah.
I had those guys on the show to just share about it, because I want to say it was Hattiesburg that kicked off that DIY scene.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then it hopped over to Jackson, and it really blew up.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
And then it eventually found its way up here thanks to those guys.
That's so cool.
I think one of them had been exposed to Hattiesburg. So it was like 10, 15 years ago. Now, they're still doing it, but college town, but there wasn't a whole lot going on, and all the bars and places to play where they weren't booking the local bands. Mm-hmm. They were bringing in bigger acts or DJ or whatever else, you know, whatever the kids were moving to.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, well, forget it, you know, we'll figure something out. And so, like, they'll do, like, 929 at the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the little speakeasy right there behind
Restaurant Tyler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's it called? It's called a
guest room.
Mm-hmm. Using places like that, I mean, that's great. Mm-hmm. It's not a big room, but I mean, you could pack it out with 40 people or do it.
Heck yeah. I love it.
I enjoyed it when you guys' band played. I was head bombing with the rest of them.
Thanks. I had a great time. I play bass, and Mark plays guitar. Mark writes all the songs. It's kind of Mark's band.
Yeah.
And
it sounded really
Caleb
good.
Caleb plays drums. And it's very. It's like stoner metal, like sludgy, heavy, you know. It's something different.
That's wild for Mark to write it, because I mean, every iteration that I see y'all play is like, I wouldn't see you playing bass, wouldn't see Caleb playing drums, see Mark playing guitar. Yeah,
that was our COVID, one of our COVID things. I kind of started playing bass during COVID, and we didn't have any gigs or anything. So Courtney and I were doing a weekly live Facebook Live thing. That was a lot of fun. But I started going over and practicing because Mark started playing guitar and Kittle started playing drums. We started getting together just kind of just to jam.
Yeah.
And Mark, man, started just pulling out these pages and pages of songs he had written. We were like, okay, I guess we'll go this direction.
Turns out we got something.
So it's fun. I hope we get to play again. We hadn't played. Well, that was the last time we played. Was that show a few months ago? But it's fun. It's different. Something different for all of us. It's a different genre and everything. So yeah, interesting.
Something that's been it's been working its way into the open mic a whole lot, especially toward the end, is I've never had anything against the Grateful Dead. I just never really listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the guys that are hanging out, like the mandolin player, he comes out, or Mark and Brenton, and we'll have Jim bring out a fiddle, and they're all deadheads.
Mm.
And started doing, I had slept on the band America.
Oh, yeah.
Sister Silver Hair? Or?
Sister Golden Hair Surprise.
That's it. That's like one of my favorite songs right now.
It's a great song.
I can't get enough of that song. And I was like, and then you start digging through America. Of course, you got Ventura Highway. You got that one. But, I mean, they got a lot of hits.
They do, man. They're really, I love that band.
And then I got to reading a little bit about them. And, a lot of people are, giving them a whole lot of credit. That was, if you wanted to know, where the 70s and early 80s California sound came from, it was probably those guys.
Yeah.
And they were great. And that's one thing I don't hear a lot anymore is, in the background. Mm-hmm. It's like the other bandmates, while the front man's singing, they were oohing and aahing and doing. I was bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. It was a cool, man, they had a great sound and great songs. And yeah, I've always liked that band. I don't think they probably don't get the credit they deserve, but yeah, they.
What have y'all been listening to lately?
This duo, they're actually playing at Dueling Hall, I think Wednesday, but they're called the Bygones.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. They're incredible.
They're really good.
I've heard that name. Do you know where they're from?
You say they were from New York, maybe?
I believe so.
Because they're kind of on the up and up right now, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they are. They're blowing up. I've been listening to the Bygones.
That's awesome.
So duo, is it guitar and?
She's mostly vocal, I believe. But I don't even think they have a full. Yeah, Allison Young and Joshua Lee Turner. See, jazz, traditional jazz, 70s kind of type music, classic country to bossa nova.
Dang, they got almost 46,000 followers on Spotify, so they're doing all right.
They're doing real nice. Shout out to them.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What about you, man? What you been up to?
Man, I've been in a big... I've been getting back into a big blues mood. There's a guy... is an older white guy named Mudcat. He's from Atlanta. Danny Dudax is his real name. And I just love all his stuff, man. He used to, when Caleb and I used to play with Willie King, the old blues guy,
mm-hmm.
From Aliceville, Alabama area, Willie would have a festival every year kind of behind his house called Freedom Creek Blues Fest. And we would get to play at it. And he would have, every year he'd have different people come in, but Mudcat came every year, and that was kind of like the highlight of Caleb and I's weekend. I mean, it was all good, but Mudcat always put on this fantastic show.
Yeah.
And so I've been going back and listening to a lot of his stuff. He would play a lot of slide, a lot of he had this old Gibson acoustic he had a pickup in. He would plug it through an electric amp and do a lot of open G slide stuff. And he was just a really big, he still is a really big showman. He playing a guitar by his head.
He'd
go out in the crowd and find a girl and put the guitar on the girl and then get behind her and play the guitar and then put it in somebody's lap and play it. And he's always a big nut. He still plays a lot. He doesn't play a lot outside of Atlanta anymore. But
he's getting older.
He's getting older.
Probably won't hit the road as much.
He's getting older and he's had some, I think he had cancer, but he's doing a lot better now. But he didn't get on the road too much anymore, but Caleb and I have been talking about making a pilgrimage back over to Atlanta sometime, trying to go see him play somewhere.
Does he kind of play on the regular over that way?
Yeah, there's
catch him on the weekly.
Yeah, there's a couple of places. There's a place called Fat Max Rib Shack. He plays that like every week, which I want to eat there too. So
yeah,
it's because it sounds good.
If you got blues playing at a barbecue joint, I feel like it doesn't have a choice but to be the best.
I mean, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just learned this, that I didn't know that Lil Dewey was doing live music. And I don't know if that just kicked off for like this summer or what, but from where my backyard is, I can, like, I'm throw a rock two times and I can hit Lil Dewey's. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting back there and I was like, that's live.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole walked out. I was like, hey, dude. Do you think they're playing at the little amphitheater or, you know, whatever? And he's like, no, I think Lil Dewey's is doing live music again. I was like, whoever that is, they're kicking a lot of ass. I was like, it sounds good from here.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So shout out to that, man. Ain't nothing like a bluesy joint / barbecue.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Man, you ever get a chance, like, talking about that cat from Atlanta, you ever mess with Watermelon Slim?
Yeah, I've seen him play. Saw him play in Clarksdale one time. Which this is cool. I wish Starkville would do this. We used to play at Ground Zero. I wouldn't say often, but a few times a year we play it. Two, three, four times a year we play at Ground Zero. One time we played. This is probably seven, eight years ago, we played over there, and we spent the night, and next morning we got up. So me and Caleb and his dad went ate breakfast at this joint in Clarksdale, and they're having music in there, and it was Watermelon Slim, and I was like, man, wish we it was like, you know, 10 in the morning, and he was cranking up. He played like 10 to 1 or something. So I wish more places would do that around here on the weekend. That would be awesome, man.
Yeah. Man, he came and played the Art Council over in Columbus.
Yeah.
And I was completely unaware of who he was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right when I heard Clarksdale, I was like, well, that's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about showman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, good grief,
yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got to be in his 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
doing
all out and, like,
yeah.
Yelling, and he's got a great bass player and a drummer behind him. He used to play with Brian May out of Jackson. He would drum for him. And that,
really?
That dude's a king.
Yeah.
He's good. And, man, great show.
Yeah.
And I ended up, like, they played at the Columbus Art Council. I followed them the next week. I had to go see them again.
Oh, right on.
So it's like.
Very cool.
And that was the first time I had went to Clarksdale. And I was like, I should have brought my recorder with me because everything, like, you go to Clarksdale. On the weekend,
yeah. There's music
like you said, 10 to 1, and then you go over here, 2 to 4. Yeah, I mean, it's
everywhere.
You just bounce, and then you got the shack up in, and yeah. I mean, like, they got it cooking over there.
They do, man. They do. Got a lot of good music.
That is a good idea. I need to pitch that to somebody. Yeah. Like, hey, y'all ever think about music at in the morning, like while everybody's just having breakfast?
Yeah, man. I love it.
929, if you're out there, step your game up.
Yeah, for real.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One thing that I would like to see, and I'm going to start facilitating it at our place here in town, is I just want to get people together, like 15, 20 people, and cook burgers, crawfish, whatever's in season, whatever people like. We'll make you a salad. It don't matter to me. Mm-hmm. But come out, fellowship. Sun goes down, we'll build. Got a little fire pit, bit of fire, mm-hmm. and whoever wants to play it, round robin, mm-hmm. and I just don't feel like we do those fellowships enough.
Yeah.
Or even if they exist, if they do, I'm not invited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I see there.
Man, I'd love that. That's kind of where I started playing a lot, mostly. You know, people getting together and hey, bring your guitar while you're there and play some tunes. And so, man, yeah, that would be.
I've got a guy. I hope he's going to play at the Art Council. I want to get him booked there. He's coming up from the coast.
Nice.
And shot me an email from Jamie Nettles of Sunstroke House in Columbus.
Okay.
And you're just not right for the audience here, but I'm going to send you to Alan because he can probably help find you somewhere if you want to play this area.
Yeah.
And so I wanted him to play Columbus, and I was like, dude, if you'll hang around, play my house the next night. And I'll invite 20, 25 people.
Mm-hmm.
We'll feed everybody. Yeah. And I was like, if you got a T-shirt or a CD, I'm sure people will help you out with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for that to happen for people.
Oh, man. Like, that's great.
Especially if you're like touring or trying to move around.
Man, some of the funnest gigs we've played have been like house concerts, for sure, man. I love it. Absolutely love it.
You were speaking about Clarksdale and the Shack Up Inn. I was playing out there and I met C6 Steve. Are you familiar with him?
No, who is that?
He's another blues. He's a really good blues artist. You know?
He plays a lot in Europe now. Mm-hmm. I think Jack White kind of helped kind of facilitate his career.
I was out there playing with Abe. We were played at the a Greek or some kind of Indian restaurant that just had opened up, and we played that, and then we went to go see C6 Steve. Look him up. He's really good.
Yeah,
I'll check him out. Like Jack White getting involved like that. Dan Arbach is he's been doing a lot with VZI Sound. You know, he picked up Jimmy Duck Holmes and Bentonia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Early James.
Yes. Okay.
He played Porch Fest Friday night this past year, but Marcus King.
Yeah.
I found it on YouTube, and like my algorithm just happened to be in the right place that day.
Right.
But he had played Delilah off of his new album on Jimmy Fallon Tonight.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. He started out with his performance on the piano,
mm-hmm.
and then like he was getting ready to get up and start the next verse and hop over with the band and grab his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard an organ, and I was like, it ain't just him. And then, you know, right when he got up and it revealed the rest of the band, and like he picked up his guitar and just went absolute nuts. And
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, shout out to Dan Arbach for like, he's been finding them, buddy.
Man, he has, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, have you heard that? It's wild. It's that album Dan recorded with, he produced, I guess, but it's Hank Williams Jr. doing blues songs.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered that recently, and me and Caleb listened to it. I was like, oh my gosh.
Man, that Easy Eye sound is, and I know I'm friends with Early. He's out of Birmingham. But when he tours with his guys. But when you're in the studio, you use Dan's guys. And I've noticed that about like the artwork for the records that come out of there. They all kind of look the same. They kind of have the same aesthetic.
Yeah.
And if you'll like, if you go through Marcus King or even Jimmy Duck or Early James or whoever is on that label, you'll notice it has a particular sound about it.
Yeah.
And even with that bluesy Hank Williams, whoever that house band, I would love to know who those guys are.
I think that's great, man. I love that. That's really old school. Back in the day, you're going to go record at Stax Records, you're going to have the Stax band. You go to record at Motown, it's going to be the same guys backing you up. So, I mean, it's kind of got a certain sound to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool way to approach to do that.
You know? It makes sense, though, don't it? It's like, dude, if we're going to put our name on this, it's going to be our guys.
Yeah, it's going to be our thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a fan of that. And just back to Jack White, just for a second, he kind of does the same thing. I think he may give a little more artistic freedom, but I think there's plenty of freedom there with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has recorded a lot of great folk and blues people at his little place there too. So I give him props for that. Sure, man. And then of course, Dan and the Black Keys did that awesome blues record a few years ago, man.
Delta Cream.
Yeah, man. Man, that's a good record.
Yeah, they recently put out a new one. It's a banger.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
It's hot off the press.
Yeah.
Like it's been out for like a month.
Yeah.
And this day and age, especially just last week, it's kind of hard to get any headway right now because of the Swifties, but
of course,
there's a lot of great music out there. Like I like Ryan Adams. In January, he dropped 3 albums.
Really?
Wow. Same day.
Wow.
And me and Lance, we both working back in the kitchen at Monson's, and he's like, "Have you started working through the Ryan Adams record yet?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm still like stuck on the first one I landed on," and I was like, "I don't know when I'm gonna leave that one." I was like, "I'm still sitting and chewing on this." And he's like, "I don't know if he's going to be like trying to be the most prolific songwriter of all time," but I was like, "He's well on his way."
Wow, really?
You know,
check it out.
Like, and like prolific, I guess, with just body of work, because, I mean, you pick any Ryan Adams record, they're not all banger like we were talking about with songwriting.
Yeah.
My goodness, I bet he's got 200 songs recorded at least.
Really? Yeah. That's a big output. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's worth doing that. I guess it just depends on your goal.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's I don't know. When I was younger, when I started writing some songs, people kind of started saying, "Oh, that's a good song." I kind of got this mentality of, okay, well, every song I make is my own little crafted, my little baby, and it has to be perfect, and I got to do better. It has to be at least as good as the last song I wrote, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that really stifled me is, like, really freaked me. I got to where I just didn't write it very much because it was like, I'm scared I'm going to write a bad song. And I kind of realized at some point, it's okay to have some ugly kids. And I think you have to, I don't know, for me, I think if I got an idea, I just need to go ahead and write it.
Get it out.
Because if I don't make room for the next one, and it may end up being something that I don't ever really play out, or I play one or two times and go, And she's great because I bounce a lot of stuff. I bounce everything off of her. And she's like, either, that's good, or, okay, And so I can kind of tell pretty quickly if it's a decent song or not, And you know yourself, too, after a little while, after you sat with it a little bit, you can kind of be honest with yourself. But I think it's okay to have songs that aren't great. It's okay. And there's some songs that aren't great that I still like, So I'm like, I still like the song. It's not that good, but,
It's always wild, like when is the song finished?
Yeah,
I think there's a million and one different answers for that. It's not a finished song until you played it live, or it's not a finished song until it's been recorded, or I knew it was finished right when I hammered it out in the bedroom that night, or it could be a million and one things for that song.
I don't have a problem. Some people say
a song is never finished.
That's true. There's always some improvements you can do. But I don't have a, man, as far as the structure of the song, once I'm done with it, it's done. And either it's, I'm going to use it or not, but I can't go back and add a bridge or rewrite the chorus. I just, man, once it's done, that's it. And it is what it is. And it either becomes something I use or, you know. And it's funny, you know, you never know how people are going to react. I mean, there's songs that I've written that I've kind of thought, oh, this is okay, and then it ends up being something a lot of people like, you know, and I'm still singing them. And then there's other songs I'm like, man, this is great, and it doesn't hit with anybody. Everybody's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's okay.
But I had
it's all good, you know?
A lot of songs like that. A song that I would be real proud of, and I think that people were just going to eat up.
Yeah.
And, playing it out for the first time and looking at the crowd, trying to look at the faces, see it. And then step off, take a set break. Man, I finally got to check that. Share this song. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? Not your best work.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's my favorite song right now. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
It's like I still like the other things better.
Yeah.
And then like it seems like maybe a year or two down the road, it finally starts hitting with people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
That songs are weird.
Well, you know, I've realize I don't have a lot of control over it, and you don't have a lot of control over if people like it or not. You certainly don't have any control over that, and so it's just kind of like nothing that you can do but keep making them and putting them out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I love the process, man. I love writing it. That's the best feeling when you get one written, you know.
I've been blessed enough to hang out with comedians and kind of pick their brains lately on like their process, and you know, whether it's a joke book or how that starts, or you know, walking up on it's crazy, like, and hell, I'll do it sometimes too, but I put a lot more respect on like musicians if like you're just up there doing it. Now granted, I get it if you got the iPad up there, but like just a reminder, I keep mine with me too. It's like just to kind of keep the set list going or whatever else. Or maybe I need a little help with the lyrics from time to time.
Yeah.
But, like, just the difference in the arts is, like, I think comedy and music's very similar in this regard. It's not always your fault. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the crowd just wasn't right.
Yeah.
But sometimes it may be your fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's wild to read the room, but if you have a set prepared... And it happened at Porch Fest, and it was her. She came down from Kentucky to play, and she was going up next, and she walked over there to me. We were getting her staged up and ready, and she's like, "I am nervous," and I was like, "You're going to do great. Don't worry about it." And she's like, "I think I'm going to do a couple of covers, and I'm going to get into my stuff." And I was like, "Well, we agreed that you were going to do your stuff, but whatever you got to do to get comfortable." And got up there, did a couple covers, and then she started laying into her songs. And it was like, people forgot about the covers.
We
never wanted those covers, but like, whatever you got to do to get in that moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Killed it. Shout out to Katie Burkhardt.
Yeah.
I hope she'll come back down.
Yeah.
But, sweetheart. Courtney, like, what's it like with you? Like, just with, like, shows and playing out, like, in those moments, like, I'm not really feeling it tonight, or... Well, I'm really into this, but people aren't feeling it. What's that like?
It's an interesting space to be in. I have my classical upbringing in that type of environment.
That perfectionist.
Yeah, very, very much. And the constructive criticism, and maybe not so constructive criticism, but there's always like this sheet music that somebody's knowing what you're supposed to be playing, and that is what, if you want me to play what's written, I'll give me sheet music, but if you want me to play my way, it's just let me flow, let me feel it, as that's where you're going to get the most genuine heartfelt music from me.
Yeah, probably one of my favorite covers that y'all do when y'all do the Pixies, Where's My Mind. And also, like, the song that y'all shared on the first time y'all came on Porch Talk Moments. Mm-hmm. I always love that the cello piece that you do on both of those songs.
Oh.
But throughout the set, I mean, I think it's just, there's something about that. Like, you bring something to the table. Like, after y'all had left Porch Fest, like, a lot of the players that were already there, it's like, where did your cello player go? I was like, they have another show in Oxford today. And they were like, it would have been nice if she could have hung around. And, like, I would have loved for her to come play. And I was like, you know, that's not strange territory. I mean, she used to do that at the open mic at Dave's all the time.
I know.
Was that ever, like, difficult? Like, just jumping in there raw and, like, not ever knowing who they were or what they were going to play?
I was eating it up.
Oh, really?
I would go up to people and, like, tug on their sleeve and be like, can I play with you? And they're like, what do you play? I'm like, I play cello. And they're like, what is that? No, it's just, like, it's such a very, very interesting place to see a cello be played, regardless.
Sure.
But, like, that's, I mean, playing open mic and jumping in with people, not knowing if what they're going to throw at me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what they're going to play, and I've never heard them play before.
Right.
So I'm just jumping in, and it's really honestly where I cut my teeth. But that was the most fun, creative element for me. It was just like a blank canvas, and they're doing this, and they're creating the bass, and then the bass for the painting or whatever, and then the cello just comes in, and then we get to do this melodic thing, and I mean, I just loved it. That was so much fun for me. That's the creative element that I want to keep holding on to.
How did that come about, like, just being, because, like, coming from, like, a classical background, it had to be tough to be like, I'm just going to play with anybody here? How did that start?
I moved to Mississippi, and I didn't really know many people here. And
it was a way to meet?
Well, no, it wasn't even that. I didn't even want the spotlight on me. I set up my music stand, and I played Amazing Grace in a classical piece the very first time I played at Dave's. And I was encouraged because Lee Graham was really, really supportive, and he's like, hey, you did great, man, you know, like, come back next week. And that became my thing. Every Monday night, it was my open mic night, and I wasn't singing. I was playing my cello, and I still feel like that's me. I physically identify as a cello. I do. I'm a cello. Just because I feel like that is the best way that I can express my emotions.
Sure.
Angry, sad, mad, happy.
So, like, with some of those blank canvases, is like if you were stepping in with, like, a Caleb Childs who was possibly going to play the blues, like transmuting that to the cello, was that tough at first, or did you find yourself right at home, or, like, with those different acts?
Blues was a learning, big learning curve, because cello is, in a classical setting, the bass and the rhythm. You're keeping that beat going. You're the metronome, you're, like, the low end, you and the basses are one in that regard. And so if there was no bass there, then I'm like, okay, what needs to be here? I'm looking for what needs to be heard, what needs to be consistent, what are they needing to, like, come back to if they go on a trill or a tandem or a, you know, feel, if they do some kind of a improv, you know, like Caleb does all the time. But you have to have some kind of consistency, like bass, drums, whatever, rhythm, some kind of a percussion. So if that's not there, I found myself there in the blues, because you needed to have that anchor, I believe. But it was very new to me, blues. And definitely there's also that learning that there's so many different blues, even in the South, regardless of which area.
Just here in Mississippi.
Right. And I was very much educated by learning that and knowing what type of blues the Ole Miss Kings are, and with Willie King, and
What would he classify that as coming from Aliceville? Would that be the Alabama Pine, or would that be Delta?
He always called it a Black Prairie Blues.
That's That's probably our best way, because it's spilled from the railroad tracks.
Yeah. Or jumping blues, but you would call that sometimes. But Black Prairie Blues is usually what I called it, because it's got similarities to where it, a little bit to Hill Country, where a lot of times it would just be on the one, you know, it'd be an E and then no changes. But the rhythm was different, you know.
Yeah.
And some of it was 12 bar, but it had its own, it kind of had its own sound for sure. But yeah, I don't know, he always called it Black Prairie Blues. So. Mm.
Take it back. With the different styles.
Yeah. I definitely love like the folk and bluegrass. Alison Krauss is my number like one, and then Mad Love Mandolin Orange, which is Watch House, and I love them too. I just love the intricacies of like the mandolins and the banjos, and like not always just banjo, but just the way that they can blend together in that type of feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I love just open jams, because you get to cut your teeth, you get to learn, you're learning. Every time you play with somebody you don't know, it's a learning experience, and you're growing as a musician. So, you know, just feeling also the freedom and allowing yourself to experience that and be open to just jumping in. I know it takes, it's a little intimidating, but, you know, if you feel like you can and it's open, you know, it's just... I don't know, I feel like that's what open mic night is.
That's what it should be about.
Yeah, just... We played at an open mic night, and they called it deconstructed open mic night, because anybody could just jump on stage, and I'm very cautious about that too. Like, even though it is an open mic, I don't want to just jump up there and be like, hey, it's me, I'm going to come and join you. I would rather somebody be like, hey, would you like to?
You'd like to be invited.
Yeah, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but it is really fun to just collaborate with other artists in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had a couple of our guitar teachers in Columbus, and they started bringing their students out.
Very cool.
So some of these guys are, I think they're ranging from 14 to 18 years old, and they have played consistently like the past 4 or 5, so every 2 weeks they've been coming out for right at 3 months. And I remember like one of them has got like a huge like Johnny Cash vibe with his voice, and oh, just nice. Even with the way, like he's kind of real stern with his guitar.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time that he come off stage, I was like, I know Mason is your teacher, but can I give you some critique? And I was like, brother, I'm just trying to help. You can let it go in one ear and out the other, do whatever you want. I want you to come back and play, but what I want you to do until the next one, watch yourself in the mirror. I was like, you did a great job, but you were really robotic. Yeah. And I was like, you know, watch yourself in the mirror and kind of see what you look like while you're doing it. And he came back to the next one, brand new man.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
And like each time he's been to like the past 5 or 6, and like every time it's like levels. You can tell he's putting in the work.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see that. And I think like it's easy. I spent like most of my 20s, and I'm 33 now, but I didn't learn this lesson until probably about 2 years ago, is I was highly competitive and jealous, and I finally learned that it's not a competition, that it's about cooperation.
Exactly. Yep.
And right when I learned that lesson, I wish I could go back and like kick the old me. He needed an ass whooping. Like all the how much easier it is to do things when you sit that side of you down and be like, brother, it ain't that.
I think
we all kind of go through that.
You open the door for community, and that's what it is about. Because if you're a musician, then you have I feel that you have a very sensitive part of your soul that needs to be expressing something else. And just like even any of the arts, whether it be painting, whether it be dance or ceramics, I mean, there's a part of you that wants to create something, and we all want to have that, you know, and put something out that's meaningful to us. And if you feel appreciated and seen, then that's a big part of it too, for me at least. And I just feel like that's what I loved about the open mic, is that you get to see other people and what they're doing and how they're expressing themselves too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're playing music and people are appreciating it on any level, you're successful. You've been successful.
I can't tell you how much it blesses me, like, to see y'all on, like, our little marquee outside or on the calendar, like, when y'all are coming to play at Munson's.
Oh, we love it, man. You know, I love that place, man. It's
and great. Especially, like, y'all blessing us and coming playing Porch Fest. It's like, I want y'all to be
honored.
Regulars on that.
Oh, yeah. Honored, man. We always
do a great job.
Thank
you.
Man.
And I wish that we could have stayed, and I wanted to listen and hear everyone else that was a part of it, and that kind of irked me a little bit, just to be able to have to be on the road, because there's when people come together for such an event like you put on, and Munson Brothers and everybody that was attending, and I just wanted to sit there and soak it all in. And I would have loved to jump on stage with any of those people that were all there.
So I was telling her, Drew, I was like after y'all had left, so many people had come and was looking for y'all. It's like, where'd that cello player go? Are they still around?
Yeah.
We'd like to collaborate.
Oh, man.
I'm available. Next year. I'm available. I love it. I do. Yeah.
I love Munson's, man. It's just a great spot. Yeah. Got a good vibe to it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about what's down the road for it, and I couldn't call it, but man, I mean, we seem to be on the right path. Yeah.
I think so, absolutely.
And you cooking those pizzas, man?
I love those pizzas.
I put the name on it. You know, it's we always like when a DoorDash order comes in, and if it ain't a 4 or 5 star, like if I was cooking that night, Ryan sends that to me. And so it's like we still take it very personal.
Yeah.
And so like whatever that complaint was, it's like, all right, we'll rise above that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
even if it's BS, and I was like, with these critiques, I would like to see a picture because I don't believe it.
Yeah, right.
Like I saw what was coming out.
Yeah.
But
You need to always take pride in your work. Yeah. You know, regardless of what it is. I mean, I make sandwiches at work, and I want to make sure everybody's enjoying it, and I want to make it how I want to eat it, but that's, you know, everybody has their own taste buds.
Yeah, and you never know. It's like some people come in there and I want it crispy, and I was like, that's not really an option, but I'll do my best.
Yeah.
But, what are y'all looking forward to down the road?
Man, I don't know. I still just love playing with Courtney. And I always enjoy playing. So we got some cool gigs coming up. We're going to go down to Florida and play a few gigs in June. And going to go to Oxford and play a gig there. And
where do y'all play in Oxford?
We're playing in June at this, it's like the summer, something that the Arts Council there is putting on. It's like the summer concert series in the Grove. So it'll be pretty cool. We played for it, man, it was before COVID, probably 2019 or 18. On the stage in the Grove, man, it was like a ton of people there, so I think it's going to be kind of a similar thing.
That's cool. Ain't nothing like being in the
Grove. It's going to be hot. She said it's going to be hot. It is going to be hot, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Me and my cello might melt.
No, it'll be all right. So, I don't know, man. Anytime somebody reaches out and wants to come play, it's always... good thing. We're booked over. We're going to Texas in August. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a blessing. Oh, that was funny. I was in Redding with my family just last week, and I got this text, and it just looks like one of those text messages that's a generic, kind of like, oh, you know, click your email and we'll send you, you know, 10% off. I didn't read the whole thing very closely because I was having lunch with my family.
Yeah, I'm getting fished or whatever. Yeah.
And so I did what I thought I should do, and I just sent a text message back responding saying, stop. And because I thought it was a generic click message.
Oh, no.
And then this person says, no, I'm a real brewery that wants to book you guys to play in Texas. And I was like, she's like, thank you for the laugh. And I was like, I'm sorry, I get like a lot of spam, and I didn't. So we're booked to play there, but she's like, you made me laugh so hard. Oh, man. But it's like, well, how do people get your email or your phone, like your contact information? Mm-hmm. You don't know them, but
absolutely. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah,
it's like stop.
is that how that typically works for y'all? Is like when y'all are in the market for gigs, is it people are contacting y'all, or do y'all ever put your head down and y'all are looking? How does that work for y'all?
I
We write tons of people.
I'm a natural born booker. I don't know. If I'm sitting around, like, that's why Drew's always like, why are you on your phone? I'm like, well, I just wrote 5 or 6 venues.
She does tons. We both do. Just tons of research. We look at where other people have played that are similar to us.
Well, and we're on the road, too, and we want to make connecting gigs.
Well, yeah, and sometimes you're playing somewhere on the road, and they're like, have you ever heard of such and such place? You try to play there, and you just have to make a point to go back and write those people. It's a lot of work. You get a lot of non-responses and stuff, but it.
Well, when you get one anchor, then you have to make a connection or a bridge to that anchor that takes you there and then brings you back, because it has to make sense and has to work.
Yeah.
We played a gig at this really cool, kind of a beachy restaurant in Rehoboth, Delaware, and I loved that place, and they had really good food. It was a little stage on the outside patio, but it was right next to a theater, and we got to see the...
Willy Wonka?
The Chocolate Factory is next door.
There was another duo. They were really good. They were called the...
It started with a W, right?
Yep. The name went out of my head. Weepies.
Yeah, the Weepies.
They were really, really good. The name of the place was Claire and Don's Beach Shack, where we played there. Mm-hmm. They were so nice. Man, like, they put us up in a hotel and, like, fed us and paid us. We were just... kind of on the road and broke trying to get to this next gig, and they kind of took care of us.
Yeah.
And we'll get back there
one day. What was our end location on the beach?
We played in Delaware. We played in Rehoboth, Delaware.
Well.
This was in, but that.
Oh, that was church. That was church.
Near Washington, D.C., where that Claire Nod's Beach Shack was. Mm-hmm. But we were heading to Rehoboth, Delaware to play.
A festival gig.
Like a songwriting festival, I think.
Many adventures.
We made it there. And we made it home. Eventually.
I couldn't imagine. That's got to be fun. It's like just all the places that your music has taken you.
Mm.
It's like, and sometimes it's got to feel like, how did this even happen?
Oh, man. Many times. We've been really blessed. We've had some really amazing moments where we've met some really great people and had some... We have lifelong friends that we've met just from... going out and doing it. And I mean, it's not all pretty. Sometimes you end up kind of like in, you know, whatever. The gig didn't go well and didn't make much money. But more often than not, it's, you know, you meet some really nice people out there. And so, I don't know. We still love it. We're still doing it. So.
Lifer.
You know. It's fun.
We were just dating, and I was going on tour with this band from Australia called The Wishing Well. And I learned a lot from that band. It was a husband and wife duo that came from Australia that hired 5 or 6 U.S. band members to play with them and tour, and they had a tour booked all the way for 3 months, all the way from... We started in Florida... and made our way. They had a plan to go all the way to California and back to Florida.
Whoa!
It was.
They were not good people.
I
hate to say that, but they were not.
You know, when you try a tour and you try to bring 8 people on board that you don't know, and you're in a van stuck. It was very interesting, but you know, very much a learning experience. Because any experience, whether you know. You take on this, you say yes to something, and you're like, okay, what am I going to learn? And
I've felt like that with this show, just interviewing different people over the years. And I think a lot of that is like in my dumb brain is like, I think I started seeing it like at like 26, 27, to where I thought like I had everything figured out and I knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to reopen myself up to ideas. And it's like, dude, like read a book. Like there's a lot you don't know.
Exactly. Oh, man.
And
yeah.
So praise God for that. Just that little ounce of humility. It's because, man, this show has like taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. On top of telling stories and just sharing experiences.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from with that. It's like, it wasn't the best experience, but I learned a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both did. We learned a lot about
how to treat people,
each other, and how to treat people. Yep.
Well, y'all ready to walk this out? I got three questions.
Yep, let's do it.
Question one is, if people wanted to get in contact with y'all, to book a show or just to follow y'all, where is the best place to do that?
Well, you can message us on Facebook, Tiny Boy in Boots, or you can send us an email through our website, or through, it's just drew@honeyboyinboots.com, and it's spelled out. That's probably the two best places.
Right on. Question two is, dream venue or to where you would see your favorite band or performer or where you could possibly play one day, where would that be?
Red Rocks.
Ramen.
Both, that's number one and two for me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Band of Horses, they've cut two live records at the Ryman.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The original Grand Ole Opry.
Yep, that's it, man. It's a special spot. I love that place.
Yeah. I've seen Vince Gill, Ricky Skaggs, Steve Warner, and who's the other one was playing that night? That was 2010, right after Flood happened in Nashville. And it was supposed to be at the Grand Ole Opry, like the mall
Opry
side.
Opry House. Yeah.
But then because of the Flood, it got moved to the Ryman.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. I was there with my mom and my grandma, and that was my first time ever.
We've been to a bunch of shows there. We saw Gillian Welch and Dave Rollins there. We saw Tedeschi Trucks Band there. We saw Old Punch Pro. Brothers.
Oh, Tedeschi Trucks. Good Lord.
That was
show. Talk about a guy that don't get enough credit.
Man, that's one of the... They brought me to tears, man. They brought me to tears.
They're unreal.
It was, especially there. It was great. Yeah. We saw Old Crow Medicine Show there over the...
Oh, did you see that, I can't think of his name, but I think one of the guitar players is leaving Oak Grove.
I saw that, going solo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going, so happy for him.
Yeah, man. It's awesome, dude.
Yeah. And just with Red Rock is, the comedians I flew down from Philadelphia for this year's Porch Fest. Mm-hmm. I drove them back to Memphis on Sunday morning, 5. We left that at 5, they had to be there at like 8 for their flight. They had a red eye. They ended up down in Denver.
Oh, my.
And what they did the past time, it was like a 12-hour layover.
Mm-hmm.
They went out to Red Rock.
Oh, well.
You know, they were sending me a whole bunch of pictures and videos.
Nice.
And I was like, I didn't even tell you all this. I was like, but that is like a dream venue. I would love to see, like, my favorite band or like practically anybody there.
Yeah.
And they was like, we got to walk on the stage. The gate was open. I don't know if you're supposed to walk out there, but we did.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't blame you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But,
that's so cool.
Oh, last question to walk around the door. Man, what's your favorite movies lately? What have you been watching? Our show?
Oh, man.
Man, that's a tough one.
I watched a really good Christmas movie while Drew was asleep back in December. It was like an old-timey one, and the woman like was taking care of her children by herself in this house, and she was gonna lose a house, and then the community came and helped her.
Sounds like a Lifetime or a Hallmark.
It was probably one of those. It was good though. I kind of went to bed with a little happy heart.
Wholesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull out an old movie that I hadn't seen in years that I watched while you were gone. High Fidelity.
Nice.
I love that movie so much. That was good.
Okay, I also like The Rock with Sean Connery. Okay.
That's a great movie, too. A lot of movies.
Very good. All right, Honey Boy in Boots, Drew and Courtney, thank y'all so much.
Thanks for having us.
Man.
Enjoy it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.